Welcome to the Chicks Talkin' Footy Joy Podcast, sponsored by The Pancake Parlour, supporting AFL women since day one. Lovely.
Another special guest on Chicks Talking Footy tonight, and she was at the AFLW launch, season launch yesterday. Muddy and I said a quick hello, but welcome to Chicks Talking Footy, Kelly Underwood.
Thank you. Good evening, Chicks Talking Footy, and great to catch up with you both yesterday.
Yeah, what a great day it was, wasn't it?
It was. It was fantastic. You know, I remember this the exact day last year attending the launch, and what really blew me away was that you had the most powerful men in the AFL and broadcasting attending, and I was really quite shocked, and I remember walking away feeling a little bit emotional from that launch because I've been working in the game as a journalist and broadcaster for nearly 20 years, and it felt like to me it was the first time that women had ever been taken seriously, and the flow on from that in the last 12 months has been really stunning, not just on the field and what we see, obviously, in the history-making first ever AFLW, but from my perspective, behind closed doors, you know, the media, the way women are viewed, the more females that are getting involved, we're hearing and we're seeing more women on TV and our radio. So it's been just a mind-blowing 12 months, really.
Look, and for someone like you, and we had a similar conversation with Ange Pipos as well, you've been, you know, sports journalist for 20 years, and I know, you know, really sort of trailblazing in some of these areas, and in fact, you're the first woman to ever call an AFLW game.
AFL game.
Do I keep saying it?
Yeah.
I've got AFLW on the brain.
We forget there's another competition.
I didn't know that men played football. You know, it must be so significant just to see, it's probably in my mind the last 3 or 4 years that the real shift has started to happen. And it must be, you know, an incredibly emotional thing to see that after so much time.
It was, and I didn't expect it to be emotional. But, I mean, years ago, just trying to get your foot in the door was so tough, and you couldn't afford to make any mistakes. I remember Wayne Jackson was in charge. He was the AFL CEO. I'd go along to the media conferences at the AFL, and I'd sit up the back with my tape recorder when I was working for 3AW, and I didn't have any confidence to ask any questions or anything like that, because usually you were the only female in the room, or maybe just one, you know, there might be one more, or obviously Ange Pipos I know well when she might have been there, but it was really sort of unheard of. So AFLW was not just a defining moment in sport last year, but it was sort of unforgettable in a sense from the media's perspective. And I mean, I think when we've spoken previously, and I've said this a few times, that what the AFLW did socially as well, about equal opportunity, social change, it'll be really interesting to see how it is received, you know, in the second year. Obviously, it's no longer a novelty. I think it'll be a season of consolidation, and next year we'll get the hype before season three, because you'll have the two extra teams in Geelong and North Melbourne next year. And I absolutely loved at the launch yesterday that they named Sam Mostyn as the new ambassador. Yeah. I personally believe if it wasn't for her, this competition would still be starting in 2020. What she's done at the boardroom table with all those men, those male commissioners over the last few years, and now obviously a Sydney Swans board member, she described the AFLW as a missing piece of our game over the last 100 years. She spoke beautifully, and her impact behind closed doors has been extraordinary.
Kelly, you said at the launch last year you were feeling emotional. I guess that was probably the feeling into that first season. Do you have a different feeling about season two?
Yeah, I'm excited. I mean, last year was just expect the unexpected. Gillon McLachlan, no expectations. And yet this year, there's just So it feels like there's so much expectation. It was almost rushed through last year. It happened so quickly. Obviously, the AFL didn't expect that many people to turn up on the opening night, and there was, you know, but you might remember it was about a week beforehand that they moved that first game from Olympic Park. Can you imagine what it would have been like if they held it at Olympic Park?
So, no, God.
The players are going to be fitter, faster, quicker. We've got the last touch rule coming in. So, you know, it's going to be really fascinating to see how it matches up. And the Crows were tipped to finish bottom last year because half their team were in Darwin and they were the real surprise packets. And, of course, it was all about last year was saying it was going to be the Western Bulldogs and Fremantle in the grand final, and they finished almost bottom two, didn't they? So... all the talk this year is Melbourne, and I'm on that bandwagon. I was watching training down at Casey Fields with the Demons on Saturday in the heat, and they're a good, smart, well-coached team. So I'm really looking forward to calling their season opener on Saturday on Fox Footy against the Giants. So that'll be fantastic. And then I back up on Sunday for the Western Bulldogs and Fremantle. Both had shockers, didn't they, in that first season last year. So which one of them can really get the jump early and set their season up?
The Brennan factor, I reckon. That's the difference.
Yes, they need her, don't they? Yeah. And for those that love women's footy and have been going along to the VFL women's competition for a few years now, they would have seen Katie Brennan at her best. Again, the equal leading goal kicker in the VFL last year. But she's yet to do it on the big stage when the cameras are on, under the lights, and she would know that, and that would frustrate her. Injured her ankle in the practice game into last season last year.
Yes, it was.
And played the first two and then didn't play again. So that would have been really upsetting for her. And then again came out and played for the Allies, didn't she, in that State of Origin clash where they were beaten by about 100 points. And again didn't have an impact, the ball didn't get up in the forward line. So if there's anyone of the 200 women that are going to take part that are more determined, that are gritting their teeth more than anyone else, I think it would be the captain of the Western Bulldogs, Katie Brennan.
And I think also for her to have... Isabel Huntington by her side. She must be incredible. If she's been taken number one pick and hasn't played for 12 months with an ACL, she must be extraordinary.
Absolutely. And I think suffered a broken leg a couple of years ago as well. So all the raps on her are amazing. I was out at Bulldogs training a couple of weeks ago, asked Coach Paul Grove, where will she start? Where do you play her? And he looked at me and he said, I could put her anywhere. She can play anywhere over the ground. So just finished her school a couple of months ago at St. Michael's Grammar and scored a bit, was about 99, I think, but got into medicine, wants to be a doctor, and is the best 18-year-old female footballer in the country. So can't wait to see what she can do on a footy field.
Joining the host of Underachieving Women playing in the AFLW.
Everyone we talk to has about three strings to their bow. We just spoke to Kat Phillips a second ago, and she's a mechanical engineer. She's played for Australia in Ultimate Frisbee, and now she's just carving up the wing for Melbourne. It's amazing.
I know. And do you know that I did hear that she's actually one of the top three frisbee players in the world?
Wow.
So she doesn't just tour around as sort of a fringe player for Australia in ultimate frisbee. She is actually one of the best ultimate frisbee players in the world.
And Australia... Should have found that out first. Well, I did know that. But Australia are... and one of the best teams too. They're considered in the top four as well. So good on her.
Do something with your life, Kat.
Exactly. Now, you mentioned the two games you're calling on the weekend. Are they both for Fox?
They are. I'm doing a tomorrow night's season opener for ABC Radio, which will be fantastic. And then Fox Footy broadcasting all the games live, obviously, and they're calling three of the four every weekend, so it means I'll be calling two for television every weekend, so there'll be a bit of travelling, but looking forward to it. We've got a great team together. Recently retired St Kilda champion Lee Montagna is going to join me in the commentary box, which will be nice and fun. So he'll be doing some ball-by-ball commentary. And, of course, Kate Sheehan, who's got the job at Richmond of assembling their women's team together as they look to come into the AFLW in a couple of years' time. And Fox Sports regulars, Sarah Jones, Merrily Meadows, we've assembled a big team. So it'll be good, and we're going to have a women's AFL show every Monday night to be broadcast.
Oh, awesome.
Next 8 weeks. Yeah.
And then you're just going to squeeze a little show called The Offsiders in amongst all that, are you?
I am. So much for just quietly easing into 2018, hey?
Yeah, it hasn't been like that
at
all.
That came out of the blue a little bit because obviously I was a backup host to Jared Waitley, who I've worked with for a long, long time at the ABC, and he's gone, joined the dark side. Am I allowed to say that?
You are.
Yes, you are.
No, good luck to him. He continues to go from strength to strength, and he'll be a massive success over at SEN Radio. And as a result, the Offsiders hosting job sort of landed in my lap a little bit. So I'm so excited about it. Something, honestly, I've never, ever contemplated. So,
You'll be brilliant.
Well, I've loved it and respected it for so, so long. And then Barry Cassidy asked me to be a panellist about 5 years ago, and I was so nervous sitting on the couch next to him for that first time. So it's hard to explain how exciting it is to be hosting a show that you just love and respect. And I think a lot of people, you know, be able to sort of every Sunday morning have some of the best, sharpest brains in sports media and the best connected people to come together and sort of debate opinions and issues and themes and stories. I'm super lucky and I'm absolutely pumped to be doing it.
Kelly, I've got three quick questions for you.
Fire away.
Who wins the premiership, AFLW?
The Demons.
Who wins the AFLW Best and Fairest?
Oh, you've got me there. Oh, I'm going to say Daisy Pearce, which is a bit boring, isn't it?
But no, but, you know, you want to be right.
Tegan Cunningham is going to play full forward for Melbourne, and I'm going to tip her to be the leading goal kicker in the competition.
Wow,
and she has never played football before. A former basketballer who played in the WNBL for about 15 years. The Demons have just been quietly talking to her over the last few months and they were able to get her in. And I watched her train. She clunked a couple of marks, super tall, really long arms. I think that she will have an impact on this league this year.
Well, Kelly, I can tell you because I got my AFLW prospectus today and I'm obsessed with it. She's actually 186 centimetres and the third tallest player in the AFLW.
Yes, absolutely. So
now,
watch out.
And my third quick question, because that can be question three and a half, was who do you think is going to win the AFLW Rising Star?
Oh, now I am on the Rising Star Committee.
Oh.
Yeah.
So we're getting inside knowledge.
Yeah.
Well, there's heaps.
There's Tegan.
There's, as you said, Isabel. Uh-huh. There's Monique Conti. There's all sorts.
Of course. Absolutely. Yeah, there's quite a few, isn't there?
Chloe.
Mm. Yeah.
God, I haven't got... I've been doing all my prep, but I haven't got that far yet.
I don't know why. You're not busy or anything.
Well, you can use some of our stuff if you like.
Yeah,
I was going to say, watch the Offsiders, Chair Kelly. I might be in there with my stats.
Watch your back.
Are you allowed to have a favourite player? I mean, do you allow yourself to have a favourite player or do you like to...
Oh, there's certainly players that you connect to and that you, you know, that you like and you interview and you like the way they go about it and you like the way that they carry themselves, I guess, in public and things like that. Obviously worked in the broadcasting commentary box with quite a few of them, so... Lauren Arnell and myself were in the same commentary box every Saturday night for ABC Radio last year for the men's season, joined by Alistair Nicholson and Nathan Burke. So got to know her really well. She carries herself really well, complete professional and a natural leader and someone that will go into coaching when her career finishes and be a huge success. So have dealt with her a little bit with Mel Hickey. Mel Hickey, the All-Australian defender from Melbourne will be joining us on Fox Footy calling a couple of the AFLW games, which will be great, and had a bit to do with Erin Phillips as well. And, yeah, she's a real introvert. For someone who's so public, she's not a natural extrovert. She's quite quietly spoken, a little bit shy, and yet in public the way she goes about it has been just perfect. I mean, what a perfect role model, really.
Mm, yeah.
She's brilliant.
We've had her on the show a couple of times. She's lovely. And look, the flow-on effect too is that there's lots of women being able to be sports journalists now, that women's sport is becoming so prominent, like our show.
Absolutely, yeah. I looked around at the AFL launch yesterday, and there's quite a few, isn't there? So I spoke earlier about being maybe the only female at a media conference, you know, 15, 20 years ago, and then all the journalists and broadcasters that were representing there yesterday covering the event. So I had a moment, it was about halfway through last season, a Saturday night in the ABC commentary box at Etihad Stadium, and I looked behind me and Lauren Arnell was sitting there doing special comments, and then I looked to my right and Daisy Pierce was in the Triple M commentary box, and I looked to my left and Tiffany Cherry was in the 3AW commentary box, and I'm trying to think, I think someone, there was another...
Sam Lane would have been on the boundary.
Yeah, she was working for Seven, so would have been covering that game, and someone for SEN as well, and I thought, my goodness, times have changed. How good is this? I mean, I want more women to be involved. You know, it's a tough gig, but it's so rewarding, and there's a definite a well-defined career path now for any young girl that wants to get into sports media.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, thanks for trailblazing in this area too, Kelly. We've been watching what you've been doing and been very inspired. And thank you for being on Chicks Talking Footy tonight. We've had it's been a pleasure having a chat.
Always happy to talk women's footy. Love it.
Great. Well,
that's what we put out last year. We had so much fun. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll be listening to you and your commentary throughout the season. We're looking forward to it.
Thanks, great. Kelly.
Thanks a lot, Kelly. Thanks. See you later.
Have a great night. Bye.
So that was Kelly Underwood, who, well, she's on everything, isn't she? Yeah. Fox Footy, Offside,
I think she's worried
ABC.
About me now, though. I know. I've got her with my stats.
Yeah, you've got...
I didn't sense that in her voice, actually.
yeah, she was... I didn't feel that she...